Hello and welcome to the Unbundled Attorney Mastermind Podcast. My name is Dave Ahrens and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Unbundled Attorney. In this podcast, we interview many of our provider attorneys, as well as some of the leading experts in the industry to isolate the best practices for building internet-generated leads and how to ethically and effectively offer unbundled legal services and other more affordable options in your practice. For more information about our services, visit www.unbundledattorney.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Unbundled Attorney Mastermind Podcast. And this is our inaugural podcast episode. We couldn't be more excited about podcasting and the power it has to be able to deliver ideas, best practices, strategies. We're going to be interviewing many of our provider attorneys in our network, as well as many other experts in the industry, to help you become as effective as possible in not only working leads and a lead generation model, but also delivering unbundled legal services to your clients. For many attorneys, offering unbundled legal services is still a very new option. It's really come about in the last maybe 10 years or so and has been popularized due to a lot of pressure on the courts to be able to address a growing populace of clients that are filing pro se. About 10 years ago, we'd have about a third of clients representing themselves, two-thirds of them going represented. And nowadays, two-thirds of clients representing themselves, only a third are being represented by attorneys. So it's been a complete shift in the marketplace. We have a lot more clients that are filing because they don't have any other way to turn and just can't afford the typical retainers that, you know, traditional firms are going to offer. So the ability to be creative and find ways to limit the scope of your involvement down a specific task and make the service options that you offer more affordable, more approachable, and fitting into the average lower income and middle income family that maybe since 2008 can't come up with, you know, $10,000 right up front or $5,000 right up front, is really a key variable in not only your ability to be effective and profitable in your practice, but also to make a significant difference and impact in people's ability to gain access to attorneys and to be able to afford them and work with them and get the legal assistance they need critically to be able to defend their rights, whether it be family court, immigration, estate planning, criminal defense, bankruptcy. These are all critical areas that people need attorneys to be able to guide them, to give them advices, and represent them. And it's imperative that in this new age, in this shifting market, that we be as effective as possible in delivering options they can afford. Okay, so this first episode we couldn't be more excited about because we have one of our veteran attorneys, Mr. Broadlotta. I mean, he's been working with us for a number of years now, literally has taken hundreds of leads from our company, and over the years has developed a very streamlined and effective process for contacting, connecting with, meeting with, and then converting the clients that we send him into paying clients, whether that be for traditional full representation or unbundled legal services. And in this episode, he's going to talk about some of the most important keys to being effective with a lead generation business model. It's very different from clients that are calling you out of the phone book or clients that are being referred from a friend or family member or a lawyer referral service. You know, these folks are going online, they're searching for attorneys, and they have a lot of options out there. And there are very specific keys to being as effective as possible in succeeding with this type of business model. Some of the things you're really going to want to pay attention to in this episode is Brad's comments on how he contacts the clients and how important it is to be very quick to the punch to be in touch with the clients. He also talks about how important it is for him to meet with each client as soon as possible. He actually is one of our attorneys that doesn't do a phone consultation unless the client's a little further away or there's extenuating circumstances where the client can't come in the office. But it's very important to him to meet with the clients and have them a chance to build a relationship, to get to know him, know where his office, see his office. And that's one of the keys to being effective with more of a cold market internet lead generation strategy is being able to connect with clients, give them a chance to meet you, get to know you. And then, of course, he also talks a lot about the flexible types of payment options that he offers. He does a pay-as-you-go. He has unbundled legal service options. And then he also does the traditional full representation. And he talks a lot about how he crafts solutions to be able to work within people's budgets. So this is a great call for us to start with this podcast because it gives you a great example of the ways in which you can be creative around offering these types of unbundled legal options and how they can really help you with being able to work with more clients and make sure that each client comes in the office, you have the best chance at getting them started with some type of option with your firm. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with Mr. Brad Latta, one of our provider attorneys in Birmingham, Alabama. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. I think just before this, we were just talking about how long it's been that we've been working together as a team here, Unbundled Attorney and your firm. And I think we were looking back, it's been almost a couple years now, right?
Yeah, back before you even Unbundled. I'm not sure what year, but it's at least a couple years.
Yeah, back in the Family Legal Help days. So, yeah, man, you're considered definitely one of our veterans, and I'm really appreciate you jumping on and being open to kind of share a little bit more about how you've been doing and some of the processes you've developed over the years to be effective in fielding the leads. So
sure,
thank you for your time here. All right, so maybe a good place to get started. You've obviously been fielding the leads for 2 years. And what's the region that you currently service?
I'm in Jefferson and Shelby counties in Alabama. Those are both right in directly in central Alabama. The main city is Birmingham.
Birmingham, okay. And maybe could you give a little bit of context on, roughly how many leads you field on maybe a weekly basis? I know it kind of fluctuates depending on the season and, what we're doing on our end to kind of dial in the lead generation for you. But maybe most recently, how many leads you receive, and maybe share a little bit about, the numbers and how you've been doing with the leads.
Sure. Since January 1st of this year, we've gotten in 42 leads. I guess that's in about 8 or 9 weeks. So that's an average of, 5 or 6 a week. From those 42 leads, we've had 20 scheduled consultations that have been completed. And we're still working on probably 5 or 6 that have said to call them back, that we're kind of working those. So from those 20 completed consultations, we've gotten 8 new clients. And it's gone really well. We offer a mix of the unbundled and the regular representation, and everybody that we show it to seems to like it.
Awesome. Awesome. So that's about 8 new clients out of 42, and you said you had maybe a few that are still kind of working on getting the funds together. I know we got some it's tax season, so some people are waiting on their tax returns, so
yeah.
That always help. But even without those folks coming in, 8 out of 42, that's about 20%?
Yeah, that's about right.
25%, that's great. So about 1 out of every 4 leads or so is pulling the trigger and getting started for you on either an unbundled option or full representation option. So that's great numbers. So perhaps what we can do is kind of just dive in and a little bit more about your process for fielding the leads and some about maybe about the options. But perhaps before we do that, maybe could you give just a brief background on kind of how you got started in family law, and maybe what makes kind of why you do what you do, and why family law in Birmingham?
Yeah, sure. I went to law school at Birmingham School of Law, which is here in Birmingham, and lived here my entire life. My family's from here, and my wife and I have both lived here forever, and it was just kind of where we were going to settle down. And domestic relations, family law, was my favorite class that I took in law school. I decided that that's what I wanted to do. My professor was a practicing family law attorney, and I really just fell in love with the work when I was in law school, and I knew that's what I wanted to do when I graduated and passed the bar exam. So I opened my firm in 2008, fall of 2008. I passed the bar exam in July of 2008, and I opened my firm that fall, and I've done almost exclusively family law since 2008. There's a mix of some other things as it comes, but primarily divorce family law cases in Birmingham since 2008.
Awesome. Okay. So why don't we kind of start from when the leads come in and they get delivered to you. Now, first of all, do you receive the leads via primarily via email, or do you get the text messages, or do you access the app? How do you receive the leads? First of all, what notification method are you using?
I get them right now to my email, and I have a paralegal that works for me about 20 hours a week, and she primarily is the one that works the leads and schedules the consultations. I like her being the first contact with them, because a lot of times she handles the scheduling, and if they need to need directions, if they need to move, they are kind of, she's kind of the first contact with the firm before they meet with me. And so leads come into my email. As soon as they come to my email, which I'm kind of addicted to, I kind of monitor it almost 24 hours a day with my iPhone. I'm able to kind of get it anywhere in the world, and I'm anal about getting my emails down to zero. I don't like having a lot in my inbox. So as soon as they come in, I forward the lead directly to my paralegal, Molly, and she always sends them, as soon as she gets it, wherever she is, she's in law school right now, so she kind of does that. She works out of the office and in the office sometimes. And as soon as she gets the lead, she'll immediately shoot them an email from the lead, and she'll also send them a text message from the lead. And then we also start trying to make phone contacts that same day. So the goal is by the day that the lead comes in to have three touches, three modes of trying to reach the lead. Whichever way they respond back to us is how we continue going forward. So some people will quickly write us an email back, and we'll just go forward and schedule them in through that way. Some people will text message back. It'll pop up on their cell phone, and they'll text us back. And then some people we're able to reach by phone, or they'll call us, and we'll schedule them in that way. But the goal is immediately to start working the lead those three ways the day it comes in, and to get the people in for an office consultation as soon as possible.
Okay, and so Molly, maybe we can talk just a little bit more about that initial contact. So that the lead gets to Molly, she then emails them. You have a text message. Do you guys have kind of like a template that you send them that kind of says, "Dear, client name, we received your request." Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we have a template that we use for the email and the text. It just says, "We received your inquiry from Unbundled Attorney online, and we'd like to schedule you for a free consultation. Just let us know your availability." I don't have it memorized, but that's the gist of it, of what it says.
Okay, so the initial goal in these contacts, and also Molly reaching out to them, so that next step would be, they're going to respond with maybe some availability. They'll send you a text back, email, and so her main job is to schedule them for them to come in the office. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right. And I've just found that's just the best way that works for me. I don't know, the particular reasons why, but it's something about coming in an office. I think it just gives you credibility. They you're not just a name on the internet. You're actually physically in a building with a staff and an office, and it looks professional. And I just think it gives a lot of credibility. So every person that we've made contact with, that we've been able, that they've responded one way or the other, has wanted a consultation. So that's 100% of that. It's just a matter of physically getting them in the office. And then pretty much everybody that comes in the office, for the most part, ends up becoming a client at some point, either the unbundled or regular representation. So we have 80 to 100% success when we can actually make contact with the leads. We've had some trouble recently with actually getting people on the phone or to respond. So she and I, we meet at least once a week just to go over the leads. We have a detailed meeting with my spreadsheet that I use, and she gives me a status on where things are with this contact or this person, or we just kind of filter them out that way, the new leads, the old leads, just kind of where everything is. And so it's been working really well.
Awesome. Was there a period of time over the years that you would actually be calling the leads yourself first and doing the consult over the phone? And if so, did you transition to doing the in-office, and what have you noticed from doing that transition if that was the case?
Yeah, we did, because I don't know if you remember, but my wife and I moved from Birmingham to Mobile 2 years ago.
Yep, definitely.
Mobile is about 4 hours south of Birmingham. We wanted to live near the beach, and I'm only licensed in Alabama, so that it was an easy transition, and we just wanted kind of a change of pace. We moved back from there to Birmingham this past November, but it was very different down there. The demographics and the logistics were very different down there. In terms of my geographic area down there was a lot more spread out. I was getting clients in Mobile and Leeds and Mobile and Baldwin County, which are two huge counties, and so the geographic area was, to some people, it was over an hour where they lived to my office. And so we would try to do a lot of telephone consultations, a lot of phone, where I would actually make the contact and do the consultation if they were available, live. As soon as I got the lead in, I would call them and get their story and kind of go from there. And I just didn't have a lot of success with it for whatever reason. It was very hard for people to follow up. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was not seeing physically me or the office or whatever in person, and it was just hearing a faceless name on the phone or something. But everybody was appreciative of the consultation, and we did get some clients from it. But it was just very the follow up from it, actually getting people to write the check and hire the firm. We just had a hard time going from the consultation, the phone consultation, to that next step. So it's just something about physically getting people in the office. Because then if they need a week or two to come up with the money or the funds or whatever they're going to do, they know where we are. A lot of time, we have a lot of people will do the consultation, and they'll just drop by our office now, you know, a week or two, or even sometimes months down the road. They'll say, hey, I got your money. I'm ready to go. Which you can't do if you don't have if there's no physical office that they've been to that they remember. That's impossible. They forget the phone number. They don't know where we are. It just becomes impossible to actually connect that from the phone call to becoming a client. With a physical office, it kind of anchors them down. They know where we are. This is the physical location. They can drop by anytime with, you know, a piece of paper or a question, a check for the funds or whatever they're going to do. So that's worked a whole lot better.
Yeah, and it really lends itself well to this model of client generation. Basically, you know, clients going online and finding an attorney, whereas, and it contrasts quite significantly, and I think this is, you know, it's important to mention that this is very different from getting a referral from their friends, family, and neighbors, because they already have, they're borrowing on the trust of their friend, family, and neighbors saying, hey, you know, I worked with Brad Lauda's firm. He's excellent attorney. He got me custody or helped me resolve the divorce. It was very affordable. And so, you know, they're coming in already with, you know, 80% of the way to hiring you. Whereas when someone comes online, like you said earlier in the call, they don't know your firm yet. They haven't had a chance to meet you. You know, you don't have that tangible office, that real relationship, that trust built yet. And yep. So, you know, as soon as, you know, we often recommend, you know, as soon as you possibly can to build that relationship, get them in the office so they get a chance to meet you and get to know who you are, get to know your philosophy and the kind of work you do. And that, you know, also kind of plays itself into kind of the unbundled options, getting them started working with you and that type of thing, which we can talk about a little later in the call. But, you know, any way you can build that trust and build that relationship on that initial meeting and those first steps is really, really, really going to help with your ability to, you know, have those clients then make the transition to retaining your services.
Yeah, and because people online, a lot of times I've found, they're looking at a bunch of different firms. They might do inquiries online to 5 or 10 different places. But when it's very rare for them to physically go into an attorney's office. And so once they do that, that's in their mind. They're not going to 10 different lawyers doing a consultation. They might do one or two to shop around. But if they come in the office, they almost always become a client. If we can get them in, which is the hard part is getting them in. If we can get them in, they like us. They appreciate the free consultation. I have a packet of packet from my firm that I give them to take with them. Something physical that they can, you know, keep in their car or whatever they do with it. So it just seals in their mind, this is a guy who, you know, that I want to use. That's the goal for them to think this is a guy that I want to use. So they don't go shop around a bunch of different other attorneys. Like I said, they're not going to drive all around Birmingham to 5 different law firms like they would online to 5 different websites.
Right, exactly. Right, and the numbers, you know, that you just shared are, you know, a perfect example of that. You know, out of 20 consultations, you've got 8 that have already pulled the trigger, and you got a number of them that are still coming up with the money, and, you know, I'm sure a large portion of those folks are going to come back and retain you. So, you know, that's, you know, perfect example of that. You know, if you can get them in the, you know, when they do come in the office, they get a chance to meet you. You know, a great majority of them are going to make the decision to move forward, just because, you know, not a lot of them are going to be wanting to hop around, and when they do get a chance to meet you, they're certainly going to feel a lot more comfortable with working with you.
Yep, that's it.
Yep. Okay, so let's kind of fast forward a bit. So now they've scheduled for a consultation. They're coming in the office. Maybe could you talk a little bit about, you know, what that initial consultation looks like? What are some of those initial goals? And maybe talk a little bit about the types of options you offer, because, you know, I think you mentioned that, you know, you get kind of a mix of unbundled clients, you know, clients that are beginning on more of a limited scope basis doing kind of an unbundled option, Maybe you could talk about kind of what those options you typically look like and kind of how you adapt them, and then also the full representation and what maybe the typical freeze of each might be.
So once the consultation is confirmed and scheduled, however, whatever medium we use to do that, either email, text, or phone call, then we have an online case management system that we use. Molly will update that on the calendar that's cloud-based and shared with both of us, so it'll pop up on my calendar anywhere where she is, if she's in class or I'm in court or whatever. We always sync it up together, so I'll know that she's booked a consultation. If it's going to be that day or the next day, then we don't do anything. We just wait for them to come. If it's going to be more than a day or two out, then we always confirm the consultation the day before. So, for example, if she scheduled someone today for a consultation on this Friday, we would send them a text or phone call or email tomorrow, just reminding them, giving them directions, giving them a way, another touch to confirm that they're coming. And it's because some people, something's come up and they didn't know how to get back in touch with us and they need to reschedule. So that's fine as long as we know that. We don't want to be sitting up here at the office waiting for them to come and they don't show up. So we always try to confirm them if they're more than a day or two out. And then once they confirm, then we just come up around just physically in the office to wait for them to come. Always kind of budget an hour.
Just jumping in real quick, because that I think that's a really important point. That doing what you can to limit the no-shows. So just kind of want to shine a light on that. So maybe a day or two before, you're sending a text and an email, and she's giving them a touch-base call?
Yeah. If we can't get them by text or email, then she'll physically call them. If it's been more than 24, 48 hours since we've talked to them, we always just confirm the appointments. And that works really well. Most people are confirm, and it's not an issue. But we do have people that say, "I'm glad you called because I've had something come up. I need to reschedule," and so it keeps being efficient with our time, and I have to sit up here waiting on hoping people show up.
Awesome. Okay, great. Yeah, I appreciate you filling in the gap there. So now they've come in. They didn't no show because you confirmed with them. So now they come in the office. Kind of what's the next step from there? And we can kind of jump into the options a bit.
Yeah, we try to schedule when Molly's going to be here around her schedule, because I like her to be able to greet them as they come in. We just do standard, we offer them water or coffee or some kind of beverage if they need. Usually, there's no waiting time, so they just come right to my office. And I always budget about an hour of my time for the consultation. So if she's going to book two or three in one day, we'll have 10, 11, and 12, or 1, 2, and 3, something like that. Sometimes we'll put some space in there because sometimes they run long, people run late, things like that. But for the most part, we budget about an hour for the consultation. And every once in a while, there'll be some that I want Molly to sit in on if she's going to be doing a lot of the drafting the paperwork in the case, and I want her to know what's going on, so I don't have to repeat everything they told me. She'll sit in on some, not very often, but occasionally. And usually we just we'll complete the consultation, and like I said, I always give them a folder with information about my firm, with our logo, business card. I go ahead and give them the retainer contract, and then we have about a 5-page information sheet for them to fill out with their contact information, their name, birth date, address, how we can get in touch with them, and then some information about their case. And then I always have a sheet in there that gives some information about my firm, when I started, kind of what we do, my philosophy on things. And if the bottom of that sheet breaks down the two options. The first is full representation, and it's got a blank space that I can fill in where I quote them for their retainer for that case. And then the second option below that, it's got the unbundled services, where it talks about the how the unbundled works, and it's kind of a pay-as-you-go system. So that they always have all that information. The next day, if they forget, what did he say, what did he talk about unbundled, they can go to that packet, and it's got all the information in there. I go ahead and give them the contract and the information sheet. I'm already trying to walk them to take the next steps to hiring us. I like them to physically be able to see that. They can read over it. And when they get ready to hire us, I basically say, we can get started today. You're welcome to hire us today, or you can take this and we'll follow up with you and you can let us know. And invariably, almost everybody, there's some that hire after consultation, but probably 70% of them take it home, look at it, come back in within a week or so. They'll either have the initial retainer or they'll have whatever we discussed on the unbundled, and they'll have the paperwork filled out. They'll have the contract signed, the information sheet filled out, ready to go. They'll bring that by to usually Molly if she's here. If not, then I will. And then they'll give that to Molly. She'll open their case and go from there.
Right. Okay. And so you've got the sample agreement that already has the kind of the pay as you go. Can you talk a little bit more about kind of how you determine obviously, the cost, their financial capacity is going to be a major consideration into whether they proceed more with full representation or taking more of an unbundled kind of a pay-as-you-go approach. Maybe, but there's also going to be some other factors as well, case factors, complexity, whether it's contested, is the other party of an attorney. So maybe can you talk about kind of how you interact with the client to identify kind of, obviously what their legal needs are and then start to figure out the best approach from a more traditional full representation or a bundled strategy to meet their legal needs, but also work within their budget.
Yeah, and it's hard because we don't ever know what their budget is. I've had people that I tried to kind of estimate based on things they told me and their situation, and I've been completely wrong both ways. And so you just never know what somebody's kind of thinking when they come in. And so we always kind of approach that at the end of the consultation. Every single person always asks, so how much is all this going to cost? Because it's kind of selling our services for the most part and getting their questions, figuring out, what we need to do on their case, and then showing them how we can solve that problem for them. We can take them from the problem that they're having when they come in to hopefully a good resolution. And we've got the tools and the experience to do that. And everybody wants it. It's just a matter of coming up with the funds. And so try to get, I always tell people, I'm not a big firm. I'm a solo practitioner. I can bill whatever I want to bill. I want to help people. And so I don't have any higher ups telling me what I have to bill. I can be flexible. So, people kind of appreciate that that we're not a big firm, that I don't have to charge them, a $10,000 retainer, that I can be flexible with them. And so we just kind of hopefully have a conversation. And I always quote them, the full representation retainer. If you want the services that we talked about, where I can really get involved in the case and I can do the thing, enough funds in the account where I can do the things that I need to do to give you the best representation, whether that's, discovery, depositions, experts, going to court, subpoenas, all the things that we need to do to really try to fix the situation the way you want it. This is kind of what we're budgeting for the initial retainer. And then kind of see their reaction, kind of go from there. If they say that sounds good, then always tell them, we also have this option for unbundle, which kind of pay as you go. We do as much work as you've kind of prepaid for. There's a couple options even with the unbundled. We can do flat fee services, which is if they need a document drafted, a one court appearance or something like that, that's just negotiated to one flat fee. Or we have some clients that they want to, pay as they go, where they'll say, I don't have a large initial deposit to put down as a retainer, but I get paid every 2 weeks and I can give you part of my check that I get every 2 weeks if you can accept that. And so we set that up, but we let them know we can only do as much work as you have in your account. So you gotta, we're going to be limited if you do this option and the things that you may want us to do, the things that we can do just based on the funds. And they understand that as long as we're all on the same page from the beginning, then it's not a problem. But for the most part, people want the full people want the full representation, unless it's going to be a straight uncontested divorce. The parties agree on everything, or they just don't have the funds to do the full representation. But most people want the full representation. It's just a matter of coming up with what that's going to cost and how they're going to be able to get their hands on it.
Right. And so that sounds like more of the, sometimes they'll pay the full retainer up front and so forth, those that can afford it, but those that don't, that's more of that kind of pay as you go type of option. Could you share a little bit about how that's structured? Is it usually like some type of a payment plan where they'll put down, maybe you can give an example of like a smaller retainer that you accept. I mean, I know every case is different. Maybe like $500 to start and then $250 every 2 weeks or $250 every month. Yeah. And kind of how does that usually look like? And how often, and how do you determine how often it needs to be paid as they go.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's generally a $500 initial payment. And I tell them, because I bill $250 an hour, so I tell them you're essentially prepaying for 2 hours worth of legal work. That's better than nothing. But it's not going to be enough for me to really do the things that I want to do. So we'll set up either, $250 every 2 weeks, something like that. And then I have some people, I'll just say, and they know from the beginning, they sign a different retainer agreement if they're going to be doing this type of representation, because Alabama offers limited scope representation. Most states probably do, but it's a new thing here where we can actually file paperwork with the court to let them know that we're going to be it's limited scope representation based on our state bar association. They've kind of come up with that. It's kind of treated differently than regular representation. So I let people know, I'll do as much as I can do. I'll do as much as you can afford. I can't let you have a large bill that accrues that we're losing money. And they understand that. So it's not a problem as long as we communicate and everybody's good on the front end. They understand, if I bring him $300, because they get a billing statement every 30 days. We send all the clients every 30 days an updated statement of the work that's been done in that 30-day period and what's left in their account, in their trust account. So they know, if they're on the limited scope or the unbundled representation path, they understand that I can't go to court for 5 hours for them. They can't call every single day and ask questions about their case. There's going to be, something that comes along with that. And I always tell them, the more you can keep in your account, the more that we can do, the more representation that I can give to you. And they understand that. So it works. It's working fine. Like I said, it's I don't have many like that. This year I've probably gotten maybe three or four, that have been like that.
As opposed to them just doing the full representation, up
right.
front where they're paying a traditional retainer and then you're billing it by the hour, and that really isn't it's more of a non-issue.
Right. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, you're getting some clients here and there where, so you've got more of the pay as you go because they want the full representation, but you have to work out the payment arrangement to kind of get around their limitations financially. Then you have the full representation, but then you also have the clients where it's pretty clear that either because of their choice that they want to handle parts on their own to save some of the money, or that just because of limited finances that they couldn't even, they may not be able to keep that pay-as-you-go going, or maybe for whatever reason it's more of a limited scope approach. How is the strategy different for you to work with a client where you're maybe prepping their documents and then giving them some guidance and some instruction on how to proceed, potentially pro se? I think it sounds like Alabama might be one of the states that offers the capacity for you to do a limited appearance. Some states can, some states can't. But, how does that become – how do you adjust for the client that's proceeding unbundled and in many cases, in some cases, maybe handling a lot of these tasks pro se?
We just kind of can tell from the consultation. That's really what it comes down to. It's just fact-finding on our end, trying to figure out without coming out and asking them what your financial situation look like. And so sometimes we'll ask people. It's very case-by-case. A lot of it will just kind of come out in the consultation. But I've asked you before, what does your budget look like for this case? And that kind of starts a dialogue of, well, I don't have, I can't do the full representation, but I can do 500 a day, and then we kind of just go from there. So it's like I said, it's just case by case in the consultation. It's just a feel for what they're looking for and what their financial situation looks like. For example, in the consultation, if someone says that they're not working, if they're in between jobs, that doesn't mean they can't do the full representation, but that kind of is a not a red flag, but it just kind of is a ding to me. It just kind of tells me that I need to at least offer them the option, because they may not have income coming in, and so that's one. Or if it's someone that's not been getting child support, for example, and they need that as part of their budget, and we've got to take somebody back to court, we kind of just kind of a notification that they may not have the funds to do the full representation. So that was offered as an option. And then another way is at the end of the consultation, when we offer them the full representation option, we quote them whatever that retainer is. I've had some people that have just been like, there's no way I can do it. They'll just come out and say, there's no way I can do that. So that's obviously an easy way to shift gears into the unbundled when they come out and say, I don't have that kind of money. I'd love to use your services, but I don't have that kind of money. Do you have any other options? you know, and we do. So that's the most obvious way, is if they just come out and say at the consultation, you know, sounds great, but I can't afford it, then we can easily switch gears to the unbundled. You know, some people do, some people are not comfortable saying that, so that's fine. The ones that, so we lead this consultation, we've quoted them the unbundled and the full representation. And then I always, if I don't hear back from them within a week, I always follow back up with them. I usually send an email, follow-up email, just reiterating, you know, we have a lot of different options. If funds are the issue, because it's always the issue, if money is the issue, you know, communicate with me. Let's see if we can, do the full representation. Because some people are embarrassed that they don't have the money to have to do the full representation. And I understand that. So we try to give them easy ways to, you know, we can help you. We still have other options. I'm not a huge big firm with a bunch of overhead and that only has, here's your price, take it or leave it. We have a lot of different options. So it kind of gives people who would love to hire the services, to hire a firm, but are too embarrassed to come out and say, I don't have that kind of money. We kind of give them, kind of let them off the hook a little bit with a follow-up email a week later. Just as another touch, another follow-up. So that's just kind of something that we started doing recently. That's kind of a newer thing that we started doing.
And that's helped with some of the clients you've met with that kind of, I don't know, maybe come clean that, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's tough for us to come up with limited resources. And it kind of reopens that dialogue and kind of addresses that concern so that they feel comfortable to, you know, reopen the discussion on other ways that they could, you know, but you could potentially structure something that could work for them financially.
That's right. Yeah, and it's just another touch, it's another contact. It's just one more. I'm trying to stay in their mind because a lot of them are looking for, they're asking family and relatives for money. They're looking at ways they can come up with the funds. So I just want to. It's just one more reminder. It's more of a thank you for coming in than fishing for money. It's following up, making sure they didn't have any more questions. And it's just one more, you know, way I'm trying to get it into their memory. You know, when they do go forward and want to hire an attorney, they've remembered, you know, I met with this guy, he followed up with me, they're diligent about stuff, and they're flexible, and they want to work with me.
Hmm. Yeah, and on that note, is it one email that you guys send a week later, or do you have some type of a system, maybe once a month or every couple of months, when maybe you'll just kind of send an email to previous clients or maybe give a phone call? Or how do you look at doing the follow-up, and how does that, you know, do you have some strategies there?
Recently, it's just been about a week after the consultation. If we haven't heard from them, we'll just send the follow-up email, thanking them for coming in, and just reminding them that we have a lot of different options. I think we've been doing that really since we moved back, since probably November. So that's kind of before that, we weren't really following up at all, unless we had a dialogue or I had a dialogue going by email. I've been emailing someone and they're emailing back, and we can do a lot of the, you know, the physical office consultation, yes, but a lot of the answering questions and moving towards the actually, you know, going forward with the representation. I try to have a dialogue going that way by email, which is easy for them. So that's how I've been doing it. But starting when we moved back in November, we started doing the follow-up emails a week after the consultation.
Okay, so then one of the things that's very clear about offering unbundled legal services is that there's a number of scenarios and circumstances where it's just not a fit. You know, there's just certain types of cases that are, you know, too complicated, or the other party has, you know, poor representation. I mean, and sometimes you can, you know, still assist people in some of those types of matters, but, you know, CPS, in certain types of cases that you just really need an attorney representing you in the court or you know that litigation to really make the difference. You know, I mean, and you know, people are going to have to proceed pro se anyway. But how do you evaluate that? What are the types of cases you look for that maybe you don't get involved with on more of an unbundled basis, and or maybe what are some of the pitfalls that you kind of learned by in offering these options? You know, whether it be the type of client you're working with, or maybe their ability to process information and handle tasks, or maybe their case factors that you have to be kind of really careful about, or just, you know, diligent about just not doing, offering those types of options in these types of circumstances.
Yeah, it's case by case. I've kind of gotten a feel for doing this a while, just kind of get a feel in the consultation of what's going to be involved with their issue. And for the most part, most people that have a highly complex case that's going to require a lot of fees and a lot of going to court, and it's going to be a while, they generally understand that it's going to cost money. I mean, they they have an idea in their head that I know this is going to be, it's going to drag out for whatever reason. So they come in with the expectation that they're going to have to hire an attorney and pay a retainer. So that's
yeah.
great. But all that work is already done in their head before they even come in. They're just looking for the right attorney. So that's not even an issue. You know, the other people that have different types of cases, it's just a feel during the consultation for what all is going to be involved. And I usually go ahead and tell people, you know, what's going to be, what the steps are. Here's what we need to do. Here's the first thing that I need to do. Once we do this, kind of give them the timeline for what we need to do to kind of help them and get them from where they are today to the good resolution. You know, once we kind of go through that timeline, they understand there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And that's when they always ask, well, what is all that going to cost? And that's when we give them the options. You know, you can do full representation, which is where we just kind of take over. We take all this burden off of you. We do it all. You don't have to worry about anything. You know, we do pretty much everything for you. That's a great option that we offer people. And it's, you know, that's for the most part what people, you know, are looking for and what they like. But then we say, well, you know, we understand that not everybody is in a position to do that. And we understand that. And unlike a lot of firms around here, we offer people other options. We have an entire other solution way that we can help people. And that's when we go into shift into the unbundled and the unbundled or limited scope representation option. And just kind of ask them, you know, what are you thinking? What, you know, you give me your feedback now that you've heard both options. You know, I'm wanting them to think that it's a foregone conclusion that they're hiring the firm. It's just a matter of how we're going to make it all work. So, you know, I just present the options and then ask them, you know, what do you think? And that just kind of keeps the conversation going. Then we've shifted from, you know, we know there's a need to be met. We know hopefully that we're going to be the firm that does that for them. Now it's just a matter of picking the right plan to help, you know, for their situation and their budget. And so it's been really good because we have different options. We have a lot of flexibility with people. We don't lose a lot of people just based on the money anymore like I used to before we had this option to do that.
Mm. And what was it originally that kind of made you make the transition, or what was it maybe kind of the original reason that you started kind of offering these options, you know, either the unbundled options or the pay-as-you-go, and how has that shifted as far as the way clients kind of respond? I mean, it sounds like, you know, with the amount of options that you're offering, people can feel really comfortable that it's pretty much going to be something that they can work out or fit in their budget, even if it's a pay-as-you-go or unbundled. So really, you know, it really seems like, especially with the approach you're taking as far as, you know, you've explained to them kind of who you are, what you do, why, you know, the steps that need to be done. And then it's just kind of, it's assumed at that point that, you know, they're going to be working with you. Now it's just a matter of resolving the approach, right? And like figuring out the options, and they're just kind of choosing. And that presupposes that, you know, they're going to be working with you at that point. So having those options really makes it like, it's kind of like an either or close. Would you like the blue car or the red car? You know, it's like, okay, well, I'll, you know, you figure it out. So, but you know, what was it that kind of made you kind of make that transition? Or was it, you know, you were turning folks away, or you kind of really had a desire to kind of reach down to some folks that weren't able to move forward, or what was it for you?
A little bit of everything. You know, there's definitely a need for that because I've been looking from the very beginning what separates my firm from all the other divorce lawyers in Birmingham, and there's a bunch of them. A lot of solo practitioners, there's a lot of big firms with a lot of solo practitioners that do exactly what I do. Why would someone hire my firm over all those other people? And this is one way that really can differentiate yourself, because there's not a lot of people that are doing this. We get people that have been on other consultations with other attorneys, or they talk to them, and they just quote them a retainer. And it's basically just, here's what I need to get started. And, you know, sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't. But if they don't, that's a non-starter. You don't even get off the ground. And so I didn't like the all-or-nothing approach. It's more, you know, everybody that comes, I do a free consultation for my firm. And so, you know, if we've done 20 consultations, you know, so far this year, that's an average of, you know, 18 to 20 hours of my time that I've spent, you know, hearing these people's problems and giving them legal advice. And I don't want to waste that. I don't want, when people come, it's I don't want to say rare, but it's such a big deal to get people physically to the office. Everybody that comes in the office physically, I want to become a client. And so I want, it just became a necessity. I don't want 20 people coming in and two of them become clients. Even if the money is about the same, I want more turnover. I want more activity and more different types of clients, because those are more people that are out there, potential giving you referrals, talking good about your firm. You know, you reach more people that way, in my opinion. So I'd rather have 8 to 10 clients like I have now than one really good one all year. And so it just kind of evolved into, you know, I mean, I can't lose money. I'm running a business, but what can I do to the people that come in to make them become a client? And giving them different options, because it's all the fun. It's all about the money. Everybody that comes in, after they've talked to you and, you know, for an hour, and you've told them the ways that you can definitely help them, and everybody wants to go forward. I mean, there's nobody that says, well, I'm still shopping around, or I didn't like what you had to say. I mean, every single 100% of the people want to hire a firm. So that's not the issue. It's just, you know, well, I definitely want to do it. I just got to find a way. We have to kind of find a middle ground that everybody can live with. I got to find an amount that I don't lose money, but an amount that they can afford, that they feel like they're getting good value for what they're paying. But that's also enough for me to be able to help them the way that I've told them that I want to be able to help them. And so it's just communicating on the front end. I've gotten a lot better over the years at taking care of these issues before they become an issue, as far as the retainer contract that they sign. We send an engagement letter. Once they become a client, we send an engagement letter that clearly spells out, everything spells out the agreement from the very beginning. There's no ambiguity. There's no, well, I thought you were doing this, and there's no surprises down the road. Everybody knows from the beginning what the deal is. So it's made things a lot easier. We don't have a lot of conflicts with the clients. We don't have a lot of, you know, chasing after money. People just kind of know this is what the deal is. And if they're on a payment plan and they don't make their payment, you know, we have to work with them around. We have to work around that. And so, you know, we've had people that have run out of money that have said, you know, we're halfway in their case, and they've said, I'm just out of funds. I don't have any more that I can spend, even unbundled or limited scope. I'm just going to have to go represent myself going forward. And that's fine. I mean, we prefer to go all the way to the end, but we understand that. And you know, these cases can be expensive, and not everybody's in a different situation. So we just try to be flexible and just whatever kind of mold that we do around their situation as much as possible.
Right. Absolutely. And this kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, where, you know, when they're first coming in, that they want to get a chance to get to know you. You got to, you know, very, very good point earlier, you know, having them come in the office, get a chance to meet you, get familiar with the office and so forth. But also, you know, when you have these types of really flexible, and, you know, a lot of these options that you talked about are very low starting price points, you know, 500, you know. And that's, you know, a lot of attorneys might go, wow, you know, 500, that's nothing. You know, like, how can you do anything with some of the case? But especially when it comes to cold market, internet sourced leads, or leads that, you know, you're reaching out to with an advertising effort and so forth, that don't have that experience working with you yet, you know, that gives them the opportunity to start working with you. And I would assume from the experience we hear from the attorneys, once someone begins working with your firm and makes that initial investment to start working with you, they tend to keep working with you. Isn't that accurate?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Right. So it's just, you know, it's really getting them in the door, getting them started, getting them something that they can, you know, a target they can hit right away and just start working with you. And and out of the people that maybe start with the unbundled option, do some of those clients and maybe, you know, and what portion maybe then make the transition, that maybe when they get a little over their head, or it gets contested, or things get difficult, that actually do also, you know, either come up with the full amount later on, or just make the transition to more of a full representation approach?
Yep, that's exactly
it. Yeah, there's a good majority of the folks that then transition to, you know, having you kind of handle it all, or, you know, come up with more of a full retainer from there, hey?
Yeah, it happens, especially around tax season. When people get their tax refunds, that's fairly common for them, you know, to be able to come up with larger amounts at one time. But you just never know. I mean, everybody's in a different situation. And I've had people that are on disability with no income who have rich parents. I mean, you just, you know, They sell a car that they didn't need. I mean, people just come up with ways to get the money if it's important to them. And so that's what we try to do in the consultation is just sell. Certainly, they have a need or they wouldn't be there. We can fix the need. And then why would you use us over anybody else? And, you know, I come from a sales background before I was an attorney. I was in insurance, 100% commission insurance sales. And so I learned the hard way from cold calling people and driving all through the state of Alabama that if we didn't get attracted people, we didn't get paid. That's it was literally, you know, sink or swim, all or nothing. And so that's approach serves me well now. I didn't realize at the time, but it's more sales than anything else. It's mm-hmm. I tell people it's sales, and then occasionally I get to practice law because it's selling the firm. It's selling them on how we can meet their need, why they would use us. Here's our success record, our track record. My goal is everybody that leaves, they want to hire the firm. Like I said, selling them on the need is already done before they come in. It's just a matter of why would I use this guy and what's this going to cost me? And that's what we spend the majority of the time on is, you know, I've handled these kind of cases. I've been doing this here in this jurisdiction for 7 years. You know, we know the judges and we got a bunch of happy clients and we can fix their problem for the most part. It's just a matter of getting us the funds, getting us the tools that we need to be able to do it. And so it's kind of sending people out into the world and saying, this is what we need to fix your problem. Come up with a way to do it. And people do. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing. People, some people within a week, some people say, hey, I got funds. Some people, I've had people a year after I did their initial consultation that will call and say, out of the blue, hey, I have the money. And I'm going, who are you? I have to go back and pull their notes from the consultation. I don't even remember what retainer I quoted these people. So it just happens. I mean, they remember, you know, how they felt when they left the office and how, man, that guy gave me an hour of his time. Now it's just kind of their goal to go find the funds. And people do. I mean, people borrow it. People get tax returns. I mean, people come up with the funds. And so that's the goal is to send them out. If they don't do it at the initial consultation, to send them out with the goal of finding some way to get the funds. And people do. Not all of them, but enough do that it's working pretty well.
Yeah, sounds like that's great. And you kind of mentioned, you know, it kind of raises the point. We have maybe, you know, a couple more questions and then we'll wrap up the call here. I really appreciate you taking the time and just sharing so generously kind of what's been working well for you.
Sure.
It's been really, really informative. But, you know, for example, it just kind of brought to mind when you said you'd kind of pull the file. Maybe you could share if you use any types of technology. I mean, I think before we jumped on the call, we were talking about Clio because we just had the webinar. We're going to be, you know, integrating in with Clio's platform. But do you guys use any kind of client law practice management software up till now? Do you use Dropbox, Google Drive? I mean, are there any tools that you've been using that you found have been helpful in your process?
Yeah, we use a program that I found a couple of years ago called MyCase. It's very similar to Clio. I actually used Clio to start, and then I don't remember why I changed, but I've been using MyCase for about 3 years now. It's a cloud-based management program for calendar and billing and all that stuff. And so what we do, and we use Dropbox for the forms, so everything is shared. But I'm very tech-savvy, I think. I can run my practice from my iPhone. But for the consultations and the notes, I still work off of a legal pad, and I always print out the lead, physically print out a hard copy of the lead, and that's what I take my notes from the consultation on. So I remember the name, the date they came in, and I always try to remember to put the retainer amount that I quoted them on there. And then I've got a file, just a physical file in my cabinet that I put all the consultations that are completed, just the sheets of the leads that are completed. And so if anybody calls 3 months down the road, I can go to that file, pull their consultation. I can see the date and kind of get a gist of what we talked about and what we quoted them. So it's a mix of very tech-savvy, cloud-based, with still old-school physical hard.
It's an old-school, yeah.
I like it. I like writing it down, you know, with pen and seeing my notes and it kind of jars my memory of what we were talking about at the time. So we just keep – and, you know, keeps a record for conflict checks down the road. If if that becomes an issue, I just always like having a record of all the consultations that are done. And I've been doing that since I started getting the leads. So I've got a couple of years worth of all that.
Yeah, I don't think that matters much. I was going to say, any guess on how many leads it's been from the beginning, but I'm sure it's in the many hundreds and even in the thousands. I'm the same way. Pardon?
Yeah, actually, I added it up at the end of this past year. I wanted to see how many came in and what I spent on them and what the return on the investment was, just for my own record keeping. And if I remember correctly, I got 160 leads last year, all of 2015, because that was the majority of that was Mobile and Baldwin counties, which the volume is just not as much down there. That's one of the reasons I always decided to move back. So 160-ish total leads from last year. So that it's going to be, and I've already gotten 42 by March 2nd of this year. So it's going to be substantially more this year.
Well, we'll keep doing what we do to keep ramping those numbers. But that's pretty awesome. That's it's 42 in 2 months. So you've already gotten a quarter of what you had in a sixth of the month. Sixth of the year. That's awesome. So we'll keep bringing them. So I guess maybe the last question I might have is just kind of, you've been working with us for, almost 2 years now. Maybe you could just, whatever kind of comes to mind, what kind of lessons or strategies have you kind of developed over the last couple of years, either from mistakes or things that didn't work or things that, worked really well and just you kind of started implementing, kind of a general strategy that, you feel, really makes the biggest difference or, we talked a lot about the options and the flexibility and so forth, but so you could kind of maybe shine a light even more on that aspect of it, because I think that's definitely a huge part of what helps you serve so many clients, and really what we're all about as an organization and a company is empowering attorneys such as yourself to start learning how to be flexible and offer unbundled options so that so clients aren't getting turned away and left to to handle these cases on their own, which is part of the reason why we got, two-thirds of folks in the courts, filing pro se in most family courts throughout the U.S., and the law clerks or, the court records are backlogged and they're trying to deal with all the pro se litigants. If every attorney or, a huge majority of attorneys was offering these options, we probably wouldn't have that same kind of an issue, because they'd be getting the guidance and support and help and advice from, qualified attorneys to get them through the process and not make these kind of, poor procedural errors that a layperson is going to do. So maybe just kind of over the last couple of years, what is it that maybe you've learned or what implemented that you would make it, kind of a broad suggestion that really has made the biggest difference for you in not only fielding leads, but, being effectively working with the clients?
Sure, yeah. I guess the main thing in terms of the leads is just having a system, being organized. When you get an average of, I'm getting an average of 5 or 6 a week, you've got to be really organized. You've got to have a system of calendaring and following up. Every one of the leads is in a different stage. Some come in the next day for a consultation. Some need you to call them back in 2 weeks. You've got to have a system in place, either yourself or a staff person that can manage that. That's part of their job. Part of Molly's job is managing that, and she understands that. And being very aggressive. I don't say aggressive might be the wrong word, but just very diligent with the leads, because they can't sit out there for more than a couple of hours. These people are online shopping with a bunch of different sites, and if you wait, we were a little bit lazy about it in the beginning, and we would wait sometimes a day or two to call them, and they've already hired another attorney. So you're just kicking yourself that you gotta get them as quick as you can. And then everything is steering them into coming into the office. We work around their schedule. I'm very flexible as far as my time, except for weekends. I don't ever do anything on the weekends. That's my family time. But, people can't get off work till 5 o'clock and they can't meet until 6. I'll stay up at the office and meet with them. So we want to give them all the opportunity in the world to physically come in the office. And then booking them on the calendar, getting everybody on the same page, following up, and if it's going to, like I said, if it's going to be more than that day or the next day, confirming them, sending them a confirmation text or an email, because booking them on the calendar doesn't mean anything. The goal is getting them physically in the office, and so everything we do is geared towards that. And then once they come in, it's just the standard attorney stuff, having a presentable office, a good staff, meeting the expectations for going to an attorney's office. I think we do a pretty good job of that, and giving them, you know, an hour of your time and selling yourself, selling the firm. That's what I've had to do from the beginning. And, you know, I've just kind of gotten my standard, you know, kind of speech to what we say to everybody kind of down. And everybody's excited. It's just a matter of, like I said, molding what we do to their situation. Instead of just giving one price to everybody and take it or leave it, if they come in the office and I'm going to give them an hour of my time, I want them to become a client. Otherwise, I'm just giving out free legal advice all day, and that doesn't help anybody. So the goal is to get them in, and the goal is, once they come in, it's my job to sell the firm and actually physically sign them up as a client. And so we try to be as flexible as we can to give people as many options, as many chances in the world to be hired on, and with an eye towards, we can't lose money. We can't, you know, fully represent someone if the funds are just not going to be there to do that. But they understand that. People, you know, that are shopping for attorneys now with these kind of cases, like I said, for the most part, they understand it's going to cost them money. They don't expect anything for free that I've had to deal with. They know it's going to, and they know their situation, and they know, you know, based on the other party or whatever's going on, you know, people will say, I know this is going to be a battle just because, you know, my wife is crazy or something. So they already kind of know from the beginning, this is going to cost some money. It's just a matter of what attorney is going to get that money. And that's why you got to get them in and sell, you know, sell yourself on why they need to use you. So they don't have to keep shopping around. There's no need for them to go call three other attorneys. They've already met with one who's, you know, in their mind, giving them a game plan for how they're going to fix their situation. And it's a rate or retainer that's in their budget they can afford. There's no reason for them to wait.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great place to end. Those are really, really awesome suggestions. And I think, you know, that flexibility and just professionalism, and also having a process. You know, I think, you know, like you said, about having a system and a process for getting in touch with the folks as soon as possible, reaching out to them, even just getting a call, an email, and a text, using three different methods. You know, we were constantly reminding attorneys to use text as well, because that really makes a big difference. You know, most people have smartphones today, and, you know, just, you know, all these things add up. You know,
yeah.
Fielding leads is a business model. It's not the same as picking up the phone from, you know, people calling you in from the Yellow Pages or being referred by, you know, friends and family members. It really requires a refinement of a business system. But when you refine it, it's, you know, the leads are the leads of the leads. And, you know, every case is different. Every person's different. But they're coming in the same way. It's the similar types of issues. And so you can gradually refine and improve that system over the time. And once you've got those systems dialed, then you can really begin to rely upon the law of averages and that source being extremely consistent in what you can expect it to produce for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. Well, so with that, Brad, I just want to thank you for taking the time today. We really, really appreciate the work you're doing for the folks that we're sending you out in Alabama. The feedback's been excellent from them as well, and I just really appreciate where you're, you know, I can tell you're there to serve. You know, you're there to really help these folks and get them through the process in any way you can, and that deals with, you know, addressing, of course, their legal needs, but working around their budget and being flexible and finding ways just to help these folks. And, you know, it's attorneys such as yourself that's really paving the way for, you know, creating a new possibility for the way in which, you know, attorneys can be offering services in this country, and certainly for clients to be able to obtain the help they badly need to resolve these types of issues. So yep. Thank you again for everything you're doing.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So with that, and thank you everyone else for listening and participating in the calls. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks,
Dave. For more information about how our lead generation services can help you grow your practice, visit our website at www.unbundledattorney.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to subscribe so you get each new episode as soon as it's available, and leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. Once again, thanks for listening.